Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 30th day of December, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is 2019, a year to remember. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambith. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you keep your comments and or questions short as possible so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one person at a time. Basically, Robert's Rules of Order, if you're familiar with those. Caucasian guy, it's good to see you. Bubby 1483 and Lane, welcome to the program. Our website, PastorDan.net, simply that, and there's no spaces or any special characters in there. It's just plain Pastor Dan altogether, and then .net. Thomas Watson Sr., nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. It goes back to the old example of lead by example. In other words, don't tell me what to do, and then you go and do something else. You lead by example. We got a whole lot of things going on at the end of 2018, but 2019 looks like it could shape up to be literally a year to remember. Bill Holter, we talked about the fact he predicted 2017 to be the year of the truth bomb, and 2018 to be the year that truth matters. And it certainly looks like it's come out to be that way. A lot of rattling and rumbling on the horizon as we come to the end of the year and what could take place in the next few weeks. And that's some of what we'll discuss today. Got a few other quotes here I'd like to read. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Just the biblical way of saying those people that jiggle up truth and lies, right? Which is, by the way, where we get the word Babylon. There is no such word as Babylon in the Hebrew. It comes from the word Babel. The same Babel that the tower was built, the Tower of Babel, confusion, all right? What's the confusion caused by? Admixture. It's a particular kind of confusion, Babylon is. It's not just confusion. It's confusion caused by admixture. Now, Babylon that we have in English is more from the Greek, because the Greeks took the Hebrew word Babel and made their word Babylon. And that's where we get Babylon today, but it actually comes from the original Phoenician Hebrew, Babel, confusion caused by admixture. What's admixture? Admixture is mixing things together that don't belong together, as in race mixing. Your body's confused. You've now put DNA together that doesn't belong together. You know, so many people, they're so silly. It's just like they go down to the grocery store, and because it's a grocery store, they think everything within the doors of the grocery store is fit to eat. That's just not true. They think that you can go out and fall in love and marry and have children with anybody because, well, they got two arms and a leg and they got the anatomy that I have, so therefore it's okay. Well, that's not true either. Our people have become simpletons. They don't understand. They believe that admixture, mixing things that don't belong together, is okay simply because they can do it. All right? Again, we've talked about the analogy of the gas station where you go down with your car, such as the Volkswagen Rabbit. I remember in the day they had a gas model and they also had a diesel model. Do you think it makes a difference when you go into the gas station if you know which one you have? They're both cars. They've got four wheels. They have a steering wheel and they have an engine. They got a gas tank. Or I should say a fuel tank. Because sometimes it's gas, sometimes it's diesel. So when you pull in with your VW Rabbit, do you think you should have looked at the manual and made sure you know what engine's under the hood so you know what to put into the fuel tank? If you're smart, you do. When you go to the grocery store, do you think you should pay attention to what your blood type is, your age, your race? Father gave us a set of rules about what fuel we use within our bodies, the same as the VW Rabbit has rules about what to put in the fuel tank based on what engine's under the hood. Who you fall in love with and marry. That's the first thing. That's the big lie, the falling in love thing. Okay, that's a romantic mental construct of Hollywood put upon the white race. That doesn't mean we can't love one another, but this whole concept of the marriage as we have it today just doesn't work because it's mixing what Yahweh intended with what Hollywood is pushing upon us. Because Hollywood, being Jewish, they know it doesn't work and they enjoy chaos. If you look at the Jews and what they promote, it's always chaos. Okay? Why? Because they are anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, anti-what works, anti-goodness, anti-morality. That's why they're called anti-Christos, anti-anointed. What's anointed? Things of Yahweh. Okay? Does Yahweh anoint evil? No. Does Yahweh anoint confusion and admixture? No. Yahweh anoints what? Those that are righteous and follow after the law. So the Jews, of course, they promote anything that goes against that. And that's why, as they have risen to power through their corruption of money systems and usury, which is known as interest, again, anti-biblical. Usury is anti-biblical. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that even says that a usurer should be put to death. What do we do in America? We worship them. We honor them. We give reverence to these false gods called Jews. Because a god can be in human form, too. You know that? Elohim means basically like a magistrate might be referred to as an Elohim. A king might be referred to as an Elohim. It's not always supernatural, it's not always in the spiritual realm. But here again, we in our ignorance today allow these people called preachers and priests to interpret Yahweh's word for us, and we trust them. As Q says, be careful who you trust. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, these preachers and ministers and pastors today. And most certainly the priests within the Roman Catholic Church. If you trust them, you're crazy. So the devil's in the details once again. Yahweh's people suffer. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge, but also because we lack the vision. We don't have the vision anymore. We don't even conceive that we've been lied to and fooled. We can't even imagine that the scriptures were written in something other than English. I can't tell you how many people, and people tell me the King James Version is the Word of God, Dan. Do you people even know who King James was? Do you know the Bible carried by the pilgrims that fled Europe to come here for a fresh start and to get away from the degradation and persecution by the Catholics and the Jews of Europe? To get a fresh start, they fled to the wilderness. What Bible did they carry? The King James? No, they did not. They carried a Geneva Bible. You know, the Bible you never hear talked about, a little bit like Building 7 on 9/11. You just don't talk about it. It's the ugly stepchild that nobody wants to talk about. It's the elephant in the room that everybody just wants to ignore. Building 7 is a major smoking gun to the fact that you were lied to about what happened on 9/11. And so it goes on and on and on. It's the thing they don't want to talk about. Geneva Bible is very rarely talked about. In fact, it wasn't until I decided to go on my own journey away from mainstream churches, because I was just sick to death of what I was finding, and I ran into a good friend of mine at work who turned me on to what's known as identity. Everything changed from that point on. Everything changed in my life. Now the scriptures made sense. Up until then, it was very confusing, because it's just like, none of this makes sense. But once you know who's who in the zoo, and you start interpreting some of the strange words properly, everything makes sense. And today, we've got churches, believe it or not, you have, let's not call them churches, let's call them congregations, being misled by these wolves in sheep's clothing. You've got a congregation in the United States that's actually going down to bless an abortion clinic. That's how sick we are. You've got assemblies of so-called believers who are well-wishing and supporting gay marriage. Now, let me ask you real quick here. Maybe I'm a simpleton. Maybe I don't know, so you can call in and straighten me out. But who in his right mind thinks that our Heavenly Father condones gay marriage? Is there anybody out there that actually thinks that? Is there anybody that has a brain that still functions and has any spirituality at all that actually thinks that you're to bless a clinic that butchers a baby in its mother's womb? I find it hard to believe that, especially the white race, the Adamic people, who were given so much, can actually buy into this. How can you go to a building where there's a person standing at the front behind a pulpit, and they're telling, and he's telling you or she's telling you that we're going to go down and bless an abortion clinic, and you people are still in that church? Or that, oh, next Saturday we're going to have Bob and Joe are going to get married, or Linda and Susie are going to get married. Come on down and wish them well. Wish them well? What, into hell? Or Hades? Or Sheol? Wherever that is, we don't really know, because the ancients, those were just words for utter darkness, a place of destruction. You're sure as hell not going to be blessed into the kingdom with that kind of mentality. So what are you going to go down to the, quote, church and bless this union of same-sex people? And now you've got demented parents actually overjoyed that their 11-year-old boy wants to dress like a girl and behave like a girl and prostitute himself at 11 years old, and they think that's good. Where's the outrage? You know, Bill Bennett wrote a book. It was part of the Reagan administration. He wrote a big, thick book. I found it at Kmart. It was only like a buck. It was in one of those bins with all these other books. I looked down, and Bill Bennett, wow, he was pretty high up on the chain there. He wrote a book called The Death of Outrage in America. The Death of Outrage. We don't get outraged about much of anything. We've been sort of neutered, so to speak. I'm just reading what Bubby says here. My poor brother, he has never seen a white Spanish person. I told him a lot of white Spanish people still exist. He didn't believe me. It's sad. Yeah, it is sad, because our people think they know, but they actually don't know. They're ignorant. They're woefully ignorant. But because of modern technology and the internet and major media and all that, they think they're informed. They believe they have knowledge, but really they're misinformed and propagandized. So actually all this modern technology is to their detriment. It's not to their good side. Professing themselves wise, they became as fools. That's what Scripture says. Now, 2019, I believe anyway, 2019 is going to see some major events. And we're going to find out here real soon, but just be prepared. 2019 is going to start out topsy-turvy. You know, Ezekiel 33 and 19, he says, if the wicked man turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. In other words, there's a chance for repentance amongst our people. Repent, re meaning to do again, or pent is comes from the word in Latin meaning to think. In fact, the French word to think is penser, P-E-N-S-E-R, penser, to think. Je pense, I think. So repent means to change the way you think. And that's what this verse is talking about. Turn away from your wickedness. And again, this has nothing to do with man's law. You know, the scripture talks about in the latter days, near the end of the age, there'd be lawlessness. And people go, yeah, people are breaking the law all the time. I see them speeding on the highway. Do you think the writers of the scriptures gave a damn about what your local statutes and regulations are? Do you think they gave a damn about that? Lawlessness is talking about violation of God's law. It's not talking about man's law. Man's law is supposed to be in accordance to God's law. William Blackstone, the famous jurist, made that statement quite often. Yeah, I believe Daniel Webster said the same thing, and many of the founding fathers. You got a body of legislators, if they make a law and it doesn't pass the sniff test, if it doesn't pass the smell test against Yahweh's word, it's no law at all. It's much like the Constitution, and many of our founding fathers would state that. If somebody, a local government, city government, county government, state government, whatever, if they make a rule or a statute or a law that goes against the Constitution, it has no validity. No validity at all. Meaning you don't have to obey it. It has no power. The Constitution at the state level is the supreme law, as in the federal. The supreme law is the Constitution. How hard is that to conceive as far as civil matters go? Both of those documents, the state Constitution and the federal Constitution, must be in agreement with biblical law. Must be. For a Bible believer, if any law or any legislation runs counter to Yahweh's law, it is of no value. It has no power other than what you give it. So when they say that a woman has a right to murder her baby, do you think Yahweh's law was changed? When Yahweh says to leave the unclean out of your body, meaning the unclean foods and the unclean chemicals and sprays and GMO, and high fructose corn syrup, and MSG, monosodium glutamate. These are all chemicals added by the people producing your food to make you get fat and to make you eat more. Specifically, MSG. If you pick up a bag of chips or pretzels or anything and it's got MSG in it, that's what it's in there for. It's addictive. You wonder why you pick up a bag of chips and you can't stop eating them? Go read the label. It's probably got MSG in it. That's exactly why it's in there. It's not helping you. It's exactly why the scripture tells us not to eat with strangers, those not of our kind, because they don't follow our rules. They don't care. They don't have a conscience. And who runs your food industry today? Oy vey! Oy vey! Irv Silverstein, and I'm just making that word up. Yeah, your local neighborhood wolves in sheep's clothing. Who do you think runs Monsanto? Of course, they sold it to another kike group lately because they know the walls are starting to cave in on Monsanto around the world, not just here in the United States, but all over the earth, people are waking up to the Jew-run Monsanto. So what do? They sell it to another Jew organization as if that's going to make it somehow better. One Jew hands it off to another Jew. And they think that because they do that, they're going to escape being liable. See, that's what Jews do. All their stuff that they do is to escape being liable. Why do you think the Jews press so hard to get rid of capital punishment in America? Because Yahweh's law says that we are to execute certain criminals. For instance, murderers and rapists and kidnappers. There's three of the most egregious of criminal offenses. And remember, a crime implies that a person has been done bodily harm. They'll tell you today, you don't pay your taxes, that's a crime. No, it's not a crime. Sorry, it's not a crime. Crime requires a person physically to be harmed. That's the way the Founding Fathers looked at it, okay? Now, you've bought into the modern little g god government telling you that crime is anytime you disobey government. Well, that's not the way the Founding Fathers looked at it. So we got a complete mess going on right now because of admixture. We're mixing man's law and God's law, and we're allowing men, figuratively speaking, men, sometimes it's females. In fact, too often lately, it's females. Way too many females in government agencies that are telling you that we have to obey man's law. What did Peter say? I know it's in that book with all the dust on it on your shelf that you never look at. What did Peter say when it's a choice between God's law and man's law? You must choose Yahweh's law. You must choose Yahweh's law. So all these Bible-carrying Zionist Christians, these Judeo-Christians, that's an oxymoron, by the way. There is nothing Judaic about faith in the Christ. They go into these whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones and listen to that prostitute behind the pulpit the whole time disobeying what's in the very book they're carrying. They don't ever read it, but they carry it. And the assumption is they know at least a little bit about what's in there. And right in the book, it tells them that you must obey our Father's law over man's law. Man cannot trump Yahweh's law. But that is also a sign of faith, a true believer. If you truly believe what the Word says, if you truly believe that our Father exists, then you have great difficulty obeying many of today's laws created by creatures called men and women, most of whom are not of your kind, by the way. Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it very, very clear that your civil servants are to be of your own family. And not only are they to be racial kin to us, but they are to be some of the best. They're to be people that have proven themselves to be of good character and to know the scriptures. You see, you threw it all away, folks. You wonder why we have the chaos that we have today. Well, there's why, because you're disobeying every single thing he told us to do and not to do via Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the rest of the scriptures. You're listening to the prostitutes behind the pulpit. Unbelievable. Revelation 3:10 gives us some encouragement because it says, because you have kept my command to endure, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole earth to test those who dwell on the Eretz, or earth. How about that? Testing. Do you think we're coming close to the testing, folks? Yeah, you watch. You watch what happens over the next couple weeks. I'm not going to tell you play by play because I don't have the playbook in front of me as far as what's going to happen on a certain day. I don't have that. But what I do have is I can see the signs of the times. I can see the changing of the leaves of the fig tree. Scripture talks about that. You can look at what's going on around you and tell the season that you're in. We're at the end of the age. There's no doubt about that. I believe we're going to see this come to pass, and this is, again, Ezekiel chapter 25:14 and Obadiah verse 18, where Jacob and Joseph become a flame and a fire, and they bring upon Yahweh's judgment against who? The house of Esau, Edom. Who are Esau, Edom today? Well, by their own admission, it is these people called Jew. Now, do you think it's an accident that virtually every piece of legislation that goes counter to God's law and the good of mankind can find sponsors with Jewish faces and Jewish names? You think that's by accident? No, it's not. They are the Antichrists. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 tells us this is the end of the matter, meaning this is the conclusion. All has been heard. Okay, remember back in the day, scriptures and the law was vocal. It wasn't in writing. Say again, our people that think paper and pens and printing presses and all that, they think it's been around forever. Okay? It says, all has been heard. Fear Yahweh God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of Adam, Adamic man, our duty, to fear and to keep his commandments. You know, I've said years ago, because people said, you know, when you started broadcasting, you know, you got to be careful, Dan. And I said, well, why is that? Well, because you're going to piss off the Jews. You're going to piss off the power elite, etc., with what you're saying. I said, okay. But, again, you haven't told me why I should stop. Well, because you could get hurt. Okay, but here again, because I'm telling the truth, I'm supposed to sit around and worry about getting hurt? Well, that was 19 years ago. And praise Yahweh that 19 years later, I'm still here. Now, I'd have been easy to take out. Very easy to take out. But I said to them, and I've said it on the air many years ago, that I will put my faith and trust in Yahweh, who said that if you will do my will on this earth, then I will walk with you. So I have the greatest power in this whatever's around us. I don't think we actually even know what's beyond the firmament, to be honest. But whatever's on the other side with Father is the greatest power there is. So if he be for you, who can be against you? It says that in Scripture. It also says in Scripture that Yahweh told the rulers of the earth, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Now, we're told that in many cases, prophets and whatnot were persecuted, often executed, and everything else. But I'm beginning to wonder, because we do know certain scripture was played with. It was vandalized, it was mistranslated. Editor's notes were put in there, etc., by the Masoretes, things like that. I'm beginning to wonder if we were told rumors and myths about the apostles and the prophets of old, what happened to them. Because think about this. Why would the enemy want you to think like Jeremiah was captured and put into a log and sawn in two? Why would they want you to have that mental image of a great prophet of Yahweh, such as Jeremiah? Because it makes Yahweh out to be a liar. Because he says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. My contention is that I think we've been lied to. Because the enemy has everything to gain if we are in fear. If we fear that even being a great prophet of Yahweh, you are still going to be overcome and destroyed. And true, it could happen. We're mortal beings. We could be on the Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton suicide list for speaking truth. That's possible. But the same scriptures that tell the rulers and princes not to touch his anointed tell us that is it not better to be harmed for doing good than evil? So if harm is going to come to you or evil is going to come to you, isn't it better that it be because you're doing right and good? So So that was my contention, and that's what I stick with to this day. My family, I can't protect my family 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially that now that they're grown and full adults. But I can pray for them. Isn't there a scripture that says that he will save your household because of your faithfulness and righteousness? Isn't that what it says? Or don't you believe that? You see, I think a lot of our people suffer from a lack of faith. They have a lot of knowledge, especially in identity circles. They have a lot of knowledge. They woke up to who's who in the zoo. They've woke up to the fact that the mainstream media is nothing but whores and liars. Okay? Yeah, they've got all that down, but do they actually have the faith that Father's talking about to accomplish great and wondrous things? Did not Christ say, you will do greater things than this? He was talking about the things that he accomplished. The anointed Christos, that means anointed, Yeshua, of his day. And you will do greater things than this. You have the tools, ladies and gentlemen, with the internet, cell phones, high-speed printers. Now you can even afford a laser printer. When they first come out, only companies like power companies that I work for could afford a laser printer. Hell, you can afford a laser printer cheaper than an inkjet printer now. I didn't even know that until Brother John over in Miami gave me his laser printer because he was going to upgrade, and come to find out they're cheaper than an inkjet to run. Here again, knowledge is power, isn't it? Truth. The truth shall set you free. Set me free from what? Paying for all those damn ink cartridges in an inkjet printer, which are outrageous. That's a small side there, okay? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Our founding fathers used to say, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to Yahweh. And earlier before the program, I just took a cursory look down through Charles Weissman's 1992 edition of A Handbook of Bible Law. He's got a section in here called Government and Civil Officers. And I'm just reading down through here the wisdom that's in here. The wisdom about your judges, about your civil servants. For instance, right here, he's got a paragraph, the Bible, the word of Yahweh, lays down many principles and guidelines for government and for those exercising governmental authority. The first and foremost principle is that all power and authority is from Yahweh God and is to be used for godly aims. Now, who in his right mind is going to tell me the leaders of the white nations of this world are obeying our Heavenly Father and using their, quote, powers for godly aims? And then he has here a quote from Romans chapter 13, for he, meaning the civil officer, is a minister of Yahweh God to you for good, to execute wrath upon him who does evil. So there, you prostitutes behind the pulpits, you preaching Romans 13 that says I'm required to obey civil authorities, really? But you left out the part that says that that civil authority that I'm to give my allegiance to is to be righteous. You sort of left that out, guys. Is it because you're on the special clergy registry with the IRS and the Department of Homeland Security? Pastor, are you on that list? Have you agreed to turn in your congregation for perks and benefits from the whore government, Mr. Clergyman or Clergywoman? Are you on that list, that secret list of the special clergy that have already turned in their congregations? You know, it's one reason that the scripture says that in that day, even their own parents will hunt them down. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see the parents of these lying pieces of garbage called preachers will get in the front of the line of the people with their pitchforks and their weapons looking for these lying bastards who have set the congregations up for slaughter by these communist dogs. Martin Luther. Now, imagine that. Can you imagine Martin Luther being alive today and look at the way the Lutheran Church is run when Martin Luther was extremely against Jews because he even wrote a book, The Jews and Their Lies, and look at the modern Lutheran Church. But in Martin Luther's writings, he said, "For Yahweh God has declared to civil magistrates," Yahweh God has delegated to civil magistrates in place of parents the right to punish evildoers. Evildoers! Now, do you think evil in God's eyes means that you didn't pay your taxes, so the IRS is to come in and knock your door in the middle of the night and drag you out and confiscate your property? Do you think that's what they're talking about? Or do you think they're talking about the child rapists and the human traffickers and whatnot, and rapists and murderers that we have out here? Do you think he's talking about them? Which one do you think he's talking about? The Bible states that it is by the power of Yahweh God that, quote, kings reign and princes decree justice and judges rule and preside. That comes out of Proverbs chapter 8. Since all authority originates and comes from Yahweh, it should be that all valid government be based upon God's law. Again, William Blackstone would have agreed. When officers or judges in authority do not exercise that authority for its designated purpose, the obligation to them would consequently cease to exist. This was the basis of the American Revolution in 1776. Yahweh God has provided us with rules and guidelines for the selection, support, and election of civil officers and judges who are to control the affairs of government as His minister. And then he goes to Exodus chapter 18. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, doesn't say women, it says men, such as fear Yahweh God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties. How about that? And again, when it says out of all the people, this was written to white people. Okay, because they were the Israelites. So Exodus is, the people that came out in the Exodus were who? Israelites, white people. So provide out of all the people, it wasn't talking about Arabs and Orientals and Jews, it was talking about Israelite white people. We're supposed to have rulers and those in places of authority in our government who are white men who fit this description here about being righteous. Civil officers in government are to possess the qualification Yahweh requires of such men, not those who may appeal to us, such as Bill Clinton. I still remember women talking about the fact that they cast a ballot for Bill Clinton because they thought he was good looking. Boy, that's an intelligent vote. They are to be men who desire truth and justice rather than the prestige of office. They are to fear Yahweh God rather than persons or the power of special interest groups. Wow. And then he's got a whole list of requirements for civil leaders. They're to be wise and just. A whole bunch of references. Deuteronomy 1, 2 Samuel 23. Civil leaders are to be diligent in government, in governing. Romans 12. Civil leaders are to be men of truth, hating covetousness. Exodus 18. Civil leaders, judges, and officers are to fear Yahweh God, Exodus 18, Deuteronomy 17. Civil leaders are to be of Yahweh, Deuteronomy 17, Hosea 8. Rulers are not to be a terror to good behavior, but rather to the wicked and evildoers, Proverbs 20 and Romans 13. Civil rulers are not to use their office and position to bring gain to themselves. Deuteronomy 17. How about that, Pelosi? How about that, Feinstein? How about that, Schumer? How about that, Harry Reid? How about that, all the rest of you pieces of dog meat in Washington? Civil rulers are ministers of God for good. Romans 13. Irresponsible civil leaders are they who are either blind, ignorant, lazy, greedy, self-centered, drunkards, or act for their own gain. Isaiah 56. That pretty much describes everybody in state and federal government, doesn't it? Civil rulers are to record, preserve, study, and proclaim the law of God at all times. Ooh, they sort of let that one fall by the wayside, Exodus 18, Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 31, and others. If a ruler unintentionally or out of ignorance violates the law, and the violation comes to his knowledge, he shall make restitution for it. Civil leaders and authorities are to be men, not women. Ooh, Exodus 18, Deuteronomy 1, and Isaiah 3. And it goes on and on. Again, this is free online. You can just look it up, Charles Weissman's Handbook of Bible Law. So here again, we've been duped into this worshiping an idol. Okay, we have become idolaters. We're being punished as idolaters. And what is idolatry? It's setting up something not of Yahweh as your God. It is giving fear and reverence to something created by the elements of this world instead of Him. Okay, what are you worshiping today? It's called government. You treat government as if it's a God. You fear it. You give reverence to it. You pay homage to it. You pay tithes to it, called taxes. Even when it goes against your good conscience, even when it goes against God's law, you give it your obedience. You have made little g God government your idol. You've made liars dressed up in frocks behind pulpits a little g God, giving them your reverence and obedience as if they are His representatives, when in fact they are teaching the doctrines of devils, because you are ignorant of Yahweh's word, because you don't pray, you don't study, you don't question, you don't ever spend quiet time in consideration of what's going on in this world, in your own families. Instead, you fill your minds with electronic BS 24/7. You have gone after false gods. . 2019 is going to be a year to be remembered. I'll guarantee you that. I can't give you play by play, but I'm going to tell you, all the cards are stacked. All the mechanisms are in place for some earth-shattering changes in 2019. This was sent to me some time ago. I think we should remember this for 2019. These two right here I'm going to read. This one's called A Code of Honor. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright, that Yahweh God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. Pretty simple set of rules, isn't it? Now, when it says to speak the truth always, even if it means your death, that's amongst our people. We're not compelled to tell the enemy the truth. We have enemies. You know, the church world wants you to think everything on two legs is your brother. No. Everything on two legs, he wants to be saved. No, not true. That's why Christ even said, why do I speak in parables? Because there are some here who are condemned already. You have people walking around in shoe leather who are condemned already. I don't pray for their repentance. I pray for them stretching a rope. That's what I pray for. Pay for their crimes. And I can't wait till these preachers are outed. It's starting to happen. The Roman Catholic Church is being outed like never, ever, ever before. So praise Yahweh for that. The great whore, the Catholic Church, being outed. But so are a lot of the Protestant denominations. Because what are the Protestant denominations? They are daughters of the whore, aren't they? Where did the word Protestant come from? Protesters. What were they protesting? What Martin Luther nailed on the church door. They were protesting what? The Mother Church. So Protestants were born out of Catholicism. They just didn't agree with everything the Pope was doing and saying at the time. They didn't disagree with the Catholic Church, the concept of the Catholic Church. They disagreed with the theses that Martin Luther nailed onto the church door. So they didn't renounce popery, did they? So the mainstream denominations are the daughters of the great whore. That's why they get into the ritual more than the meat of the message. Today's church world is more into the show, the outward window dressing, or as Christ would have said, they speak my words in love for me with their lips, but they are far from me. Isn't that what he said? They're the lukewarm. They put on a show like Kenneth Copeland, John Hagee, Joel Osteen. There's a whole list of them. They're all quacks and charlatans, going out there prancing around as if they're speaking the word of God, and all they are is businessmen. They're running a business. They're fleecing the sheep for a profit. Another one that was sent to me is, never be lukewarm. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. Never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. Do you understand what that means? He who is indifferent. Do you know what the word indifferent means? Look it up. You got electronic dictionaries. It only takes a few seconds, a couple keystrokes. Indifferent. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. Are you awake, white people? White nations of the world. By the way, the yellow vest protests have now swept into Belgium. They're in Canada and almost every white nation on earth, and some of them that are not so white. Even in Italy, there is a yellow vest protest going on against the central government. Who controls the central governments of the world? The Antichrists. The Antichrists control it. See, they always want centralization. That's a key element to Zionism / communism. They always want centralized power. And they want you to believe they have the right to be centralized, when the Christian ethic is diversity. And as the libertarians say, government at the local level, even businesses should be family-run Christian businesses, not gigantic corporations. Okay? So centralization is your first clue you're dealing with antichrists, whether it's a corporation, centralized government, centralized banking, centralized gigantic armies. Centralization is key to the communist takeover. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people to just happen without your input. You know, we can't control how many days we have to walk upon this earth. We don't have control over that. But as Lavoie Finicum, who was murdered by elements of the Oregon State Police and Mossad because every state police organization and every law enforcement agency is somehow influenced by Jewish Mossad. I've heard that straight from the lips of police officers I've talked to. How many times the ACLU or the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center sends a kike down to tell these guys who the enemy is. And the enemy is always white Christian men. We're number one on the list. White Christian men, people that believe in the Constitution, people that believe in the Second Amendment, people that believe in the Bible. We're the ones to watch. Well, to a Jew, that's true. But the white police officers should have enough sense to know that that's a lie. And a lot of them are waking up as well. I've talked to state police officers and local police. A lot of them are awake. They don't say much. Not down there amongst the wolves. But they're aware, as are many military men. These are wolves trying to convince us that Satan and Satan's plan has validity, when no, it doesn't. The 1925 Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 5, page 41. Esau Edom is in modern Jewry. So we read earlier Ezekiel and Obadiah, what they said is going to happen to Esau Edom. And by their own definition in the 1925 Encyclopedia, Jews take ownership of the title Esau Edom. They have identified themselves. Isn't it what Christ said the tares would do in the parable of wheat and tares? Aren't the tares going to be identified for us? The Jewish Almanac in 1980, page 3, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or Hebrew. How about that? The Jewish Almanac got it right. Jews are not Israelites. They do not speak ancient Hebrew. They speak Yiddish. Their alphabet is block Hebrew, invented by the Masoretes. It has nothing to do with Paleo Hebrew. You see, the devil's in the details. Rabbi Stephen Weiss says, some call it communism. I call it Judaism. That's right out of the mouth of one of their own, Rabbi. Anti-communism is anti-Semitism. The Jewish Voice, July through August 1941. How about that? So when they use anti-Semitism as a ad hominem attack upon you, it is actually the fact that they are counting you as an anti-communist, because Jews are communists. Communism is a Jewish invention. Jewish people like Karl Marx came up with the whole concept. Vladimir Lenin, that's not his real name. Trotsky, not his real name. Stalin, not his real name. They say they're name changers. That's another hallmark of these Jews. Speak with a forked tongue. They typically are crypto Jews. They change their name. They'll even feign Christian beliefs. Okay? What does Scripture say? You know, a lot of people say, well, Dan, what about the good Jews? I said, point them out into the Scriptures for me, please. Tell me where in Scripture it says Edom Esau is any good. Okay? If you can do that, then I will believe that there's good Jews, and some of them are going to be saved. Okay? But if you can't show me in Scripture where that's true, sorry, I can't buy it. Now, I'm not the one that has to judge them. That's Yahweh says he's going to judge them. He's going to bundle the tares for the fire. So Obadiah says we're going to be a flame in a fire, and we're going to burn up the stubble. Well, Yahweh's going to make that decision for us, isn't he? So I don't even have to worry about it. All I've got to worry about is not to trust these people. Even the elders of my family, when I was a little boy, said don't trust Jews. Plain and simple. It didn't say some Jews. It didn't say the Jews down at the marketplace or the ones that bought out the Christian stores in town. It said all Jews. Why? When they lie, they speak their own language. Or are you telling me you don't believe the Bible? Is that what you're telling me? Because that's right out of the Bible. Time to wake up. Time to wake up. So the Yellow Vest protests apparently white people are growing some stones back in their sacks and they're starting to protest. I heard from Michael over in France. He left France and is now living in Spain because of the protests. So he gave me a firsthand witness of what he saw in France while he was there. And he said the country is in absolute turmoil. Now, like he said, the mainstream media is telling you it's all over gas tax. Well, that's not true. He said the cost of everything has gone through the roof over there. And it's not just the gas tax. It's just everything. And it's because the Jews, and Macron is a Jew, okay, another crypto Jew pretending to be a Frenchman, all right? He lives in France, so I guess technically you call him a Frenchman, but by race, he's a Antichrist. He's a Rothschild agent, just like this twiddle-dee, twiddle-dum idiot up in Canada. Trudeau, another toady for the Rothschild Jew. Is he white? No, he's not white. None of these characters are white. Theresa May in England, is she white? No. The mayor of London, definitely not white. So when are white people going to realize that our father never condoned those not of our kind to have any power over us? They don't have any power. That's a mental construct. That's a mental conditioning of the white race to think that these people have any power. It doesn't matter what they put in print, folks. They can write anything in print they want. It gives them no authority. As we talked about out of Charles Weissman's book here, they are not legitimate rulers or governors over you. They have no authority. As soon as they violate the commandments of being a righteous man of our own kind, they're the only people that you are to give obedience to. It's really that simple. So when Theresa May tells the people of England they got to give up their sovereignty, or Angela Merkel in Germany says that you got to give up your sovereignty to the New World Order, she has identified herself as a traitor to the Aryan German people. And Theresa May is a traitor to the Aryan British. You know, we call it British, but British means covenant people. Ish and Ishi is a Hebrew term for men. Now do you see where we get the modern terms like British, British, Irish, the men of Ireland? See? English, the people of Angleterre. English. So ancient Hebrew is in our modern languages. So the people of the covenant over there have allowed a Muslim to take over as mayor of London. Are you kidding me? Your ancestors are spinning around in their graves. You know that, right? You've allowed these Muslims, but we're no different here in America. We've got antichrists all over our governments, federal and state. We've become just as apostate as everybody else. You know, the scripture talks about the great apostasy. Well, you're living it. White people bringing in non-whites and allowing them to rule over them. They have no authority. People say, well, you know, the great apostasy has to come. You're living in it. The great tribulation's got to come. Really? What do you think you're living in, fools? And I say that because it's true. Take a look around you. How many million of our best of our people have bled the ground red in these Jewish wars? Never-ending wars. Turning our men and women into hamburger on battlefields. You don't call that a great tribulation? How many millions of innocent German men, women, and children were butchered after the war ended. More Germans died after the war than during the war. Little tidbits you don't think about, huh? How many Aryans have bled the ground red in all of these conflicts at the behest of our Jewish interloper? You don't think you're in the tribulation? How many babies have been aborted in their mother's wombs? You don't call that tribulation? Go talk to the souls of the babies that were killed in their mother's womb. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm getting sick and tired of you bastards out there that keep calling it a fetus. If a white man or woman calls that child a fetus again, I'm going to vomit. I'm sick and tired of you. Why do you adopt Satan's kids terminology? Why do you think Satan got you to start calling it a fetus so that you wouldn't get so upset when he murdered it and then used the body parts for the cosmetic industry and for research centers and the food industry? Yeah, you're eating your own children. Did you know that? Yeah, I love it when these pompous-ass whites, they go, well, I would never do what those fools in the Old Testament did. I wouldn't eat my own, and I wouldn't go against Yahweh. Really? Take a look around you. White people are doing it every single day. And yes, quite literally, you are eating your own children if you consume some of these products in the grocery store, typically run by Jewish companies. Where do you think the aborted baby material goes? It's sold for high dollars. It's used in many things. So you're putting aborted babies on your face, ladies, in certain cosmetics. You're consuming the children in some of the food. And some of the baby parts are used in research and making some of these poisonous vaccines. And you say, well, I would never eat my child, and I would never sacrifice a baby to the god Moloch in the fire. What do you think they're doing down at that abortion mill? Do you know what saline does to the baby when they inject it with saline solution? It literally cooks the baby. It is burning, folks. We are such hypocrites today. I'm shocked that Yahweh has not pulled the plug on this experiment called Earth. I'm shocked that he finds any righteous on this earth when we allow this kind of stuff to go on. How many more children do we have to read about that have been trafficked by these criminals on this earth? How many women do we have to read about being raped by these mongrels and these non-whites invading our lands? Huh? How much? How much more do we have to see? How many more soldiers need to be maimed and killed in these wars for profits for these corporations? General Smedley Butler pointed that out in his book, War is a Racket. And there were many other generals and colonels and admirals that have said the same thing. But you're not paying attention. General Patton said at the end of World War II, we fought the wrong enemy. These communist Jewish Bolsheviks are far worse than the good German people. And he lamented the fact that they destroyed a beautiful Aryan race in their country at the behest of these animals called Bolshevik communists. Animals. Even the white Russian army that came ahead into Germany near the end of the war would warn the German people, especially the women and the children, to run and hide because they were Caucasian. And they knew that the animals coming behind them and what they would do to the women and children. So the white Russians, and I give a hats off and a thank you, shout out there to our white cousins in Russia who tried to warn our Aryan brothers and sisters about the menace called communism. You know, and here's another one. I'm going to throw it out there again because it's so pathetic. It shows the ignorance of the white race. You know, we sit here and we go, well, I'm anti-communist and we need to fight communism. And yet communism exists today because of the white race. The only reason communism is here is because we support it. Well, that's silly, Dan. Really? It's silly? Who do you think funded the communist revolution in Russia? It wasn't a Russian revolution. It was a Zionist Jewish revolution funded by money coming from America banks in New York. Jewish banks in New York funded the Russian Revolution so the Jews could massacre the Russian people. And the Tsar and Tsarina were not killed right away. They were killed over a year later after he abdicated and he agreed to stay out of politics. And they were all in this house out in the country. Why did the Jews butcher him? Because the Russian people were beginning to figure out that the whole Jewish Bolshevik, so-called Bolshevik revolution was not for them, it was for the Jew. And they were afraid that the Russian people would demand that their Christian monarch come back to power. And so they hurried up there with their little henchmen and they butchered them. They didn't just kill them, they butchered them in typical Bolshevik fashion. These are the little tidbits that you just seem to forget about, if you ever did know them. Do you think our Heavenly Father is going to hold us not accountable for our ignorance? Do you actually think that? Do you think that you're going to be able to stand there in front of Him one day and say, well, you know, I didn't know about that. I was too busy watching reality TV. Father Yahweh, I had season tickets to watch the pro football players. You know, the ones that won't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The same ones that sit there and denounce whites while they're making millions of dollars thanks to white idiots that pay for those damn tickets. You think Father's just going to give you a pass? Do you actually believe that? Especially in this day and age when information is so damn easy to find, if you take the time to look for it. But no, that's the problem. We're too busy. Well, you know, Dan, I got to take the kids down there. They got soccer practice and softball practice, and they're in the band. And, you know, by God, and the wife works, and I work because, you know, they just keep raising our taxes, so we got to work more hours. Okay. Well, okay, you get a pass. Come on in. You think you're going to hear that? Oh, as I always say, let me know how that works out for you, will you? As you have this whole line of excuses that you think get you off the hook, I can't wait till you sit there and tell Him what you think justifies your ignorance and lack of action. There was an email that just came out that said that we are headed for a catastrophic 2019 if good people don't rise up. There's that conditional if again, just like 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. That's the definition of a conditional statement. There are conditions to our Father's love. There are conditions to His forgiveness. There are conditions for entrance into the kingdom. The first weeks of 2019, not only will the Yellow Vest protests continue, but you will see military tribunals. Now, here is the question of the day. Who is going to be in front of these military tribunals? Now, alternative media wants you to think that we've got good guys that are planning all this, and it could be true, and that we're going to see these absolutely hideous creatures, like the Clintons and Podestas and like, marched in front of either civilian courts or military courts to be punished for their crimes. And we all pray that's true. But at the same time, what if it's not? Are you prepared for that consequence? Because it literally means it's up to us then. Okay? So we don't have long to wait. We really don't. Because there is going to be an upheaval in 2019. No doubt about it. Geopolitical. Natural and in kingdom states. You're going to see upheaval. That there is no doubt about that. I don't think anybody contends with that projection. So, but again, who is going to be marched in front of these courts? Who is going to go to Gitmo? Who is going to be executed for crimes? You got to remember, to the antichrists, you and I are the terrorists and criminals. Just remember that. It's just like the Jew hag Janet Reno. You know, typical of a Jew. Well, we just love the children and that David Koresh and those mean people there at that Branch Davidians. You know, those children need to be rescued. So what does the Jew hag Janet Reno help orchestrate? Yeah, the murdering of every adult and all of the children, including the 17 children that were burned alive. Or did you forget about that one? The 17 children burned alive by our government at Waco, Texas, the whole time claiming they were doing it because they cared about the children. So, are these kind of monsters going to round up us? Or are we going to round up them? I vote for the latter. I think it's time to round them up. So, we only have to wait a couple weeks and we're going to see. We're going to see what's going to actually happen here. And then we'll know for sure. Again, if it truly is righteous people that want to set things straight, I'm all for it. I say every man that's able is to be part of the army that marches out to bring in the wicked and put them on trial. However, at the first sign that this is a trick and actually righteous people are going to be abducted and put on trial, then all bets are off at that point. All bets are off, because then the enemy has shown their true colors, and we know that this is the fight of all fights. One way or the other, you're in a fight to the finish, folks. I hope you understand that. It doesn't really matter. I don't care about QAnon, Trump, the White Hats, Black Hats. I don't care about any of that, because we don't know who's telling us the truth and who isn't. All the indicators are still telling me that we do have some decent people trying to do decent things. But we just don't know for sure. But the one thing you can be sure of is that we are at the end of this age, and you are going to be part of the greatest battle ever to be fought on this earth that we are aware of. Let's put it that way. Of the history that we know. A lot of history has been scrubbed from us intentionally. That we know also. But what we know of history has never seen a battle like this. Scripture refers to it as the Great Battle. The Dead Sea Scrolls refer to it. And now you can see it shaping up, because we are literally falling apart at the seams. You've got rampant race mixing. You've got rampant massive non-white immigration. You've got borders. Yahweh put everybody in specific positions, geographic positions, with borders, etc. That's of Yahweh. They're trying to destroy it. So it's either going to be the New World Order is going to be in charge, or we are going to be in charge. One or the other. It cannot be both. So what are you going to do to help in the fight? That's the only question you got to ask yourself at this point in time. So the tribunals, they are going to come, all right? No doubt about it. The only question is for who. Little Rock, Arkansas, when the planes came in and took out those massive amounts of documents dealing with the Clinton Foundation, that sort of tells me that either one, it's a great big show, again, to fool us, or it's the good guys actually setting up to bring down the Clintons and their cabal. Again, we just don't know, do we? I mean, you know, yeah, it all looks that way. Good news is you don't have long to wait. That's the good news. Food stamps will run out. The program that gives out the food stamps, mostly to the non-white invaders, that runs out of money at the end of January if the shutdown continues. Word on the street is that the shutdown will continue because most of the people that were elected, it was through voter fraud, especially the Democrats. So, and a lot of people say, well, Dan, that can't be. You have to remember, you're already in a state of emergency, folks. Do you have any clue what that means? You know, I wish people would stop watching that damn television. It's like it sucks whatever mentality and IQ that's left in the white brain. It sucks it right out of there. Now, shut that damn thing off and shut the radios off and the music players, the MP3, shut all that shit off and just go over in a corner or go in your bedroom and sit down and stop and think for a minute. Over a year ago, as I recall, an executive order was signed declaring a state of national emergency. Do you know what that means? Just because on the day it was signed, things didn't change much in your world doesn't mean that it doesn't change a lot of things. It sure as hell does. Go look up what powers are in the executive branch under a state of emergency. Remember, Trump signed another proclamation that, what was it, September or October was a month of national preparedness. We're hearing about the prison barges. I've heard there's up to 7 of them now being prepared to be used to take prisoners to Gitmo, to house prisoners. Gitmo itself has been refurbished and set up. There's troops there. The troops are coming home. Why are the troops coming home now? They should have been home years ago. All of a sudden now the troops are coming home. Why is that? Could it be that they're needed for something to do here? Now, Lane says here, we've had a string of national emergencies over the last 25 years, but I haven't seen anybody tell me the dates and who signed them and what happened. What was the national emergency? I've heard that. Yeah, we've had lots of national emergencies, but I haven't seen who declared them and when. The point of it is we're under one right now. It doesn't really matter what happened in the past. You're under one right now. Nowhere in history did we ever have a Supreme Court justice question on the rules of military tribunals. That's never happened before. And yet it was brought up on the record. You got to remember, this is on the record. They do these things on the record. And again, it's either because good guys are getting ready to do something or bad guys. But you have to understand, if they're bad guys, you have to understand how your enemy works. Be as wise as the serpent and as innocent as the dove. You need to learn the serpent's ways. How they determine things. Like I said, when they're talking about criminals, you have to understand that the patriotic American is considered a criminal to this communist takeover. Even General Flynn talked about the fact that this is a communist insurgency that's been taking place in America. General Ben Parton talked about that in my interviews with him as well. The communist insurgency here in America and virtually all white nations. We're up against a communist insurgency. Now, when other so-called presidents, they weren't really of our kind, declared their states of emergency, it was for nefarious reasons. I'm still going to hold out that this one's being declared for something good, mostly because of what I just said. We've never had somebody who was nominated for the Supreme Court asked about military tribunals. We've never had, as far as I know, a president sign a document changing the Uniform Code of Military Justice where it applies to tribunals. Those are signs, as far as I'm concerned. Those are signs. There was an interesting interview on Greg Hunter's YouTube channel late yesterday. I did not get to finish it, but they were covering a lot of the things that we're talking about right here. So if you go to YouTube and go into the search window, look up Greg Hunter, and listen to his two-hour interview with Dr. Dave Janda. Now, I'm not saying these guys are 100% legit, but Greg Hunter used to work for CNN until he couldn't stand what he saw going on, and he left. So the man has integrity. He's also a believer, as is Dr. Dave Janda. And Dave Janda has been to Washington numerous times trying to reform the medical mafia to get out of the management of system or symptoms, get out of that and get into prevention. That's his main goal. In fact, he just recently retired to devote his full-time efforts to changing the medical mafia. Because in America, it's all about making money. It's not about prevention. Prevention should be what medicine's all about, not managing symptoms because it makes more money. Again, why do we have all this stuff happening? Because we've become lovers of money. The root of all evil is what? The love of money. So when your people, the Israelite people, become lovers of money, now everything starts to fall apart. Instead of being the Rhadamanthine warriors of old who believed in truth and justice and the knights who took the code of honor oath to do no harm and to protect the weak and the innocent, the widows and the orphans, as Scripture says it. We've abandoned all that. We now take advantage of the orphans and the widows. Who do you think are being trafficked? Children, many times born with no birth certificates because their parents are doing this for money. So they have their children in secrecy and give them to these Satanists to be either used for rituals and or sacrificed or put into the sex slave trade, and nobody knows about them. These people are sick. When Q says these people are sick, beyond belief sick, yeah, they are. So again, is QAnon for real? I can't tell you that. I don't know. Is there a lot of things that Q has told us that have come true and are true? Yeah. When Q said, be careful who you trust? Yeah. Yeah, how many people trust their clergyman? How many people trust their doctor? How many people trust their local politician? Okay? How many people trust the professor down at the college when he's a card-carrying communist? All right? Our people trust a lot of things. How many people trust the mainstream media to inform them? My parents did, to their chagrin. I tried to warn them, but they still felt that if it was on TV, it must be true. I don't know what can of soup or what drug that they took to make them believe that, but they did. Anyway, it's an interesting interview. The truth is coming out. Yahweh said that the truth would be revealed. All things that have been hidden will be made known. And when people are armed with the truth, they can make informed decisions. Our founding fathers, like Thomas Jefferson, often said that. If the nation is in trouble, it's because the people have been ill-informed. And if they are armed with the truth, they will make righteous decisions. So a lot of the crazy stuff that's going on is because people are ignorant. You can fix ignorance with truth. You just can't fix stupid. Now, some of our people are just stupid. They really are. They're beyond fixing. I hate to say that, but it's painfully obvious. Some of our people are literally that stupid. You can't fix that. You can't fix it. You pray that they would somehow get their smarts back or get some sort of integrity back, but at this point, I don't know if that's even possible. I don't know. That's in Father's hands, not mine. But 2019 is shaping up to be a year to be remembered. I'll make that prediction right now. 2019, you watch. Again, I did not tell you exactly what's going to happen, all right? So I don't want to hear from these people that say, oh, Dan, you tried to tell us this is going to happen, and it didn't happen. I'm not telling you exactly what's going to happen, other than that you will see military tribunals. I'll guarantee you that. You will see mass arrests. You will see that. You will see the New World Order make their last dying gasp at world conquest and setting us up under a Bolshevik communist system. You will see that. The question is, will they succeed or not? The question is, what are you going to do to stop it? Okay? That's the big question. Okay, we got a caller, Henry in Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Henry.
Hello, Dan. You're on a good roll today, as usual.
I
really enjoy listening to you. I recently saw a video. I don't even know who it was. But I've seen a few of these types of videos that basically talk about the impending martial law that seems to be right around the corner. And insinuating that it's for a good purpose, and that just doesn't sit well with me. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because I don't see how martial law can be. I think that when that comes around, I think we ought to be very leery. What do you think about that?
I would agree that we should be leery. However, do I believe it's going to come? Yes. Do I believe it's necessary? Yes. For this reason. One, historically, we look at all through antiquity, cases like in Rome. When Rome became so corrupt, evil men had risen to power. Then it was the generals who took their legions into Rome and put them to the sword, and they started over again. Every now and then, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's where we've come to in the white nations, particularly here in the United States. You have a Justice Department that's not working. It's been infiltrated. You have a court system that's not working. You have a CIA, FBI, NSA, etc., that are not working for us. They're working against us at the top levels. Okay, so with all these systems that are in place, they are the way that you would handle this normally, and I'm going to throw your Congress in there too. At least 2/3 of your Congress are corrupted, okay? That's a fact. That's not just hearsay. That's a fact. So if you've got all the mechanisms that would normally fix the problems that we're talking about, and also you don't have fair elections right now, you've got rigged elections. So all these mechanisms have been taken away from you. What are you left with? Armed revolution. Now, armed revolution can happen in two ways. One, a military coup within your country by good guys, or an outright revolution of the people rising up. Now let's take a scenario here. Let's just assume hypothetically that we do have the good military that were let go prematurely by the previous administrations because of their loyalty to the American people. Let's face it, Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons did not let military generals and Navy admirals go because of their criminality. They let them go because they were loyal to the people. These admirals and generals didn't go away. Some of them were murdered because they knew too much, but a lot of them knew that there was nefarious things going on in Washington, just as I said General Ben Parton told me personally and the whole audience in person in West Virginia years ago. They knew the communist insurgency was at work in America and the highest levels of government. John F. Kennedy alluded to it. Ronald Reagan alluded to it. Okay? So we've had prominent people try to warn us that these evil creatures had risen to power in America. Well, if you're safeguard institutions have been corrupted, which is exactly what the communists did. You're only left with the military option. So which of the two military options is the better one for we the people? That we the people rise up in a bloody revolution when a lot of innocent people are going to be killed? Because let's face it, when the mob takes to the street, the mob does not care who it cuts down. If it sees a man and woman in uniform, they'll kill them. If they see a man and woman that have some credentials that say they work for the government, they'll kill them. They're not going to say, were you a white hat or a black hat? Were you one of the good police? Bad? No. Once it reaches bloody revolution, they just start killing because they're that angry. The other solution is that the good guys get together, the good military, and I personally believe that the good military is in communication with the national militias. That's what I believe. Now, will you ever be told that? Of course you won't. Sun Tzu says it in The Art of War. You don't let your enemy know what you're doing, ever. So would the good guys, even though I'm sure they would like us to know that so we don't worry so much, but if you were a military commander trying to take back America and bring us back to our constitutional and biblical roots, would you telegraph to the enemy that you have the support of the national militia?
Obviously not.
No, you would not. You would do that. You would only talk to them as Donald Trump talks to people, in handwritten messages delivered straight to the person and no one else. That's the way Donald Trump has always communicated in business dealings, and now he's doing the same thing in his government position. All right, that's a smart man. He knew a long time ago that Operation Talpiot in Israel was spying on all electronic communications in America and all the other white nations too, but specifically here in America. All electronic communications run through the litter box in Palestine. So these admirals, these generals, Donald Trump, and the good administration people, they all know that these communists have been spying on us for a long time, and they don't communicate through normal channels. And they're sure as hell not going to let them know all the good things that are being done to set up for what's going to happen in 2019. So you're asking my opinion. And again, let me stress, I agree with you that martial law is a very dangerous precedent. However, and that we should be on our guard. I go along with that. But, you know, our founding fathers said we should be on guard with anything our government does at any time. These people are in a position of great power and authority that tends to corrupt. And they told us never to stop being vigilant as to watching what these people are up to. So that part I agree with. Do we need to be vigilant as armed citizens as to what this martial law is going to do? Yes, we do. However, do I see personally the logic behind it? Yeah, I do. If I was one of those admirals or generals that cared about my country, cared about my family, cared about my Christian faith, cared about the future for my children and grandchildren, I would be doing exactly what it appears that they're doing, which is setting up for military tribunals. And because your public officials, most of them have got their positions through vote rigging, you don't have an elected government anymore. You don't have a representative government anyway. So shutting it down and establishing martial law for a short period of time, say 3 to 4 months, I see that as a very logical thing to do. And actually, I see it as the only thing to do to start to restore order.
Yeah, you know, and with the government shutdown right now, I have a feeling they're not going to come back, and I think that this is going to evolve into what you've just been talking about. I think it's all coming about now. I think I sent you an email about a week ago, and I was getting pretty nervous, but there's a lot of good signs that we've got some people on our side, but boy, it's so hard to determine the actual truth now. I think we actually do have the right guy in power right now. I don't put all my faith in Trump, obviously, for obvious reasons, but I can't imagine how bad it would be if the other one had gotten power. So
we have
a chance. Yeah, it would be over. But I constantly dwell upon what's happening now and how this is all seems to be coming to a head right now. If people don't see it now, I don't think they'll ever wake up. I try to balance what I'm seeing happening in the world right, especially in our country right now, with the scriptures, and I see it getting really, really nasty. Even if the white hats are truly there and are going to put up the good fight, I don't think that's going to be a clean, safe thing for us, because I think tribulation is right around the corner. We're going to face tribulation one way or the other. Not that we haven't already been in some kind of a tribulation over a long period of time, but I think right now it's all coming to a head. And I don't think anybody can really properly interpret the end times scriptures. I know everybody thinks they have the answers to how everything's going to turn out, but it's too vague and it's too hard to interpret. But I think that there's going to be some pain. There has to be. And I'm prepared. I've been stocking up. I've got about 2 months' food supplies. I've got alternative heat. I've got a generator, and I've got a kerosene heater. I mean, but you know, I went to my son's house for Christmas, and I just tried to open up a brief conversation about people being prepared. And it was just, I just couldn't get any serious response from anyone there. We had like 15, 16 people there, and it's just like, my family is just, they're all asleep. I can't get my son or daughter to pay attention, and it's very discouraging. I don't know.
Well, we have to understand, you know, what did Father say the road to salvation What were the parameters of the road that leads to salvation? It's narrow, and few travel thereon. The path to destruction is what? Wide, and many travel thereon. I'm in the same boat, and I virtually would say that all of the listeners to this channel and the ones that listen to the downloads later on are in the same boat. We all have a multitude of friends and family that we love and care about, but they are completely brain dead. And I'm not going to challenge the Heavenly Father's decision on what to do with them, all right? I'm not going to challenge that.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
I would love them all to awake and repent and worship the Father and be welcomed into the kingdom. That's what I would wish. Actually, I would wish that for everybody. But I also am a pragmatist, and I also know that reality is quite different, and even the scripture supports that. That for whatever reason, you, Henry, were called out. You're part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, okay? As are the other listeners here and the ones listening down. You're part of the elect. You're part of the remnant of called out who do see it, okay? And we're not supposed to suffer because of that. And let me give a case in point to try to make this more easily understood. Father gave us rules about what to eat, didn't he?
Yep.
Okay. Now, you have a choice whether you obey him or not. Now, is there a blessing to those that obey those laws? Yeah, there is. It's called good health, right? Now, you can be an Israelite, you can be white, you can be pure DNA white, But you've chosen to go ahead and eat the unclean foods. Will you suffer for that? Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. I know a colonel right now who's just had a couple stents put in. He's got gout extremely bad. I don't know what his diet is, but I'll almost guarantee you that there are things in his diet. He may be obeying the food laws, but there's another law that says all things in moderation. And how do I know this? Because I violated it and I suffered for it. One of them is I drank way too much coffee. Back in my 30s and 40s, I drank coffee all day long. Very little water, coffee. I'd have a cup of coffee in my hand all day long. Well, I got into my 40s, and one day I got out of my car to walk into work, and I could not bend my toes. Have you ever tried to walk with your big toe sticking straight out and not bending? Try it sometime. It's difficult. Okay? I called my daughter, who was in nursing school, and she immediately said, "You have gout." I said, "No, I don't. I'm only 40-some years old. I can't have gout." She goes, "No, you've got gout." Gout is arthritis. That's just the name we give it, but it's actually arthritis. And the very first thing she asked me, "Do you drink coffee?" I said, "Well, hell yeah, I drink it all day long." She goes, "There's your problem." I stopped drinking coffee, and 2 weeks later, my toes shrank and started bending again. So it's the same thing. You can be presented with the truth, whether it's the gospel truth, the truth about banking, the truth about government, the truth about the Second Amendment, whatever you want to talk about. What you do about it is your business, and you can choose the right path and be saved or choose the wrong path and suffer for it. And we are coming to that point as a nation. The scripture is written to a people, not individuals. Most of the scripture, three quarters of the scripture, is talking to the white race, not individuals, to the white race. And we in America were founded as a white nation under God's law to be a Christian constitutional republic. Christian comes first. The Constitution was for our public servants, not you and me. Our faith in Christ comes first. That's the only law we need. We formed the Constitution to form a government, which means my public servants are under the Constitution to obey it. So we, as a people, in this nation, as white nation, have come to the point where we are going to die, literally, at the hands of these communist infiltrators. Or we're going to destroy them and return to our roots. That's the only two choices we have. Either you're going to fight and throw these communists out and destroy them and put them to the sword, as Christ commands, like the soldiers he told us to be. Occupy until I return. That's a military term. Occupy. Okay? We were never to be pacifists. We were never to be disarmed. Nothing in Scripture says that. Nothing. Only these lying preachers twist the intent of certain phrases in the Bible and try to say that its pacifism is promoted. No, it's not. None of our founding fathers believed that, and they carried Bibles a lot more than these people, and they actually read them. Okay? So they knew, and yet they carried a musket to church. They carried a Bible in one hand and a loaded musket rifle in the other hand to church. So anybody that says that we're not to be armed is a liar and a misfit, and he's your traitor. That's a traitor. Anybody that says that we are to be disarmed has identified themselves as terrors and traitors to we, the white race, God's chosen people upon this earth, the Adamic man, to bring law and order. Not to be abusive. There's nothing in that statement that's abusive. If you're obeying God's law, I'm the greatest friend you could ever have. But if you're disobeying it, I could be your worst enemy. That's what we're supposed to be. And I think we've reached that point, Henry. And my own personal thing is, again, and I agree with you, I believe martial law will be declared, probably a temporary one, because government cannot function. We do not have a functioning government, so you have to have law and order. And the only law and order when you disband a corrupt government, has to be a military martial law. Has to be. Because if it's not, you get absolute chaos. Now, at the local level, I believe, personally, you'll find local Christian militias will form at many local levels, because I don't think there's enough military to do it. So the Christian militia will be performing that function at a local level. And it's kind of interesting. I was just sent an article about a town in Mexico. 30,000 people live in this area, around this town. They have, excuse me, they have disassociated themselves with the central government of Mexico. They have formed a voluntary militia, and they have formed a barrier around that town and declared that there is no government, there is no clergy, there is no central church there, there is no central government there. And that town has been that way for years now. So people say, well, the government will come in and destroy it. Well, they haven't destroyed that town, and it's only got 30,000 people in it. And yet they are prospering and happier than any people in Mexico, because they don't have lying politicians bilking them of tax money, making rules to benefit their friends. They don't have a lying church. It's just the people behaving themselves, and the militia is there to keep outsiders out. That's all the militia does. They don't actually go in. They don't even need, there's zero crime. They have a zero crime rate.
Not surprising, yeah.
Most of the criminals are in the church and the government. Like in the United States, MS-13 has come in here and committed all kinds of crime. How did MS-13 get in here? They were given a pass by our government, elements in our government. Okay? So that town in Mexico is proving the exact same thing that our brothers and sisters in Iceland and our brothers and sisters in Spain, by the way, have proven. The Spanish government disbanded several years ago. The people would not fund it. Okay? They have prospered with no central government. Iceland has prospered under no central banking and forgiving the debt. We've got proofs in front of us. We've got lands where people have risen up and said, I'm done with it. I'm done with central government and central banking and centralized religion. It's all run by criminals. So, yep. Again, I personally, I think a military martial law scenario is going to happen, and I believe it's the right thing to do, as long as it's run by the right people. And again, I agree with you again. I can't stress it enough. Do we need to be on our guard during that period? Well, let me tell you should be on your guard right now. You've got communists running your country. You don't have representative government anymore. You haven't had it for decades. The communists are running this country right now. So will I take a chance that a military takeover could be good, guys? I'll take that chance, because if they don't, the second scenario is what's going to happen, is we're going to have a bloody revolution. There'll be hand-to-hand fighting in every community across this nation, and it will be ugly. Let me tell you, it will be ugly. Especially for those of us who are minorities. I live in an area where whites are already a minority. The good news is there's a lot of non-whites who are just as righteous and just as patriotic as any white man I've ever met. Okay, that's the good news. Just because they're not white doesn't mean they don't have a conscience, doesn't mean that they want the upheaval that's here, that doesn't mean that they don't believe in justice, because they do. I'm the Crime Watch chairman in my community, and many of the members of the Crime Watch team here are non-whites because they care about their families and their children, and they're tired of the crime. All right, so right there is a little microcosm of what Yahweh's talking about. Adam was put here to be what? Administrators, They elected me to be their chairman. What am I? I'm an Adamite. Just like the German SS in World War II. They were the leaders, but who were in the SS units? Many non-Germans. Okay? In fact, one of the last SS units to go down in World War II was made up of Frenchmen.
Mm-hmm.
How many people know that? 12,000 men, Frenchmen, were trying to save Berlin, and they all died, except a handful. There was a tiny handful. And guess what General de Gaulle and the rest of the pieces of shit in the Allied command did to those 12 men after they captured them? They interrogated them, and then they shot them. So not a single man survived of that SS unit, and it was all Frenchmen. In fact, statistics, Red Cross statistics, will show you more Frenchmen died in World War II fighting for Germany than against Germany. It's the same way with our Civil War. They don't talk about the blacks that fought for the Confederacy, do they? Do they ever talk about the blacks that fought for the Confederacy?
No.
No, they don't. Isn't that funny? The little pieces that they don't talk about.
And they don't talk about white slavery either.
They don't talk about white slavery, which was much more prolific than black slavery, actually.
Yeah.
All right?
Especially the Irish.
The Irish were treated far worse than the blacks. And let me tell you something. My father's family came over here from Wales. And do you know why my family left Wales to come to North America? Because we backed the wrong side in a Catholic-Protestant war. And our choice was, you go to America or die. That's how we ended up here, okay? In fact, there's a town named after my ancestor in Pennsylvania called Johnstown, Pennsylvania. It's named after Joseph Johns. You can read the plaque as you go into the city. And guess what? Welshmen or what? Coal miners. What's Pennsylvania full of? Coal. Who do you think was down in there sucking up all that coal dust and getting lung disease for decade upon decade? Welshmen.
Yeah.
All right? So don't tell me that we don't personally know that we're being lied to and being propagandized and led around by the nose. It's just like on 9/11, they don't ever want to talk about Building 7. Why? Because it shows that they're liars. Okay, they don't want to talk about the blacks in the Confederacy because it will show that the war was not over slavery. What black in his right mind would fight for the Confederacy if the issue was slavery? It wasn't slavery. It was the fact that the carpetbaggers, who are all Jews, the carpetbaggers of the North were Jews, wanted to come into the South, the Christian South, and take it over the way they had the North. So here again, the truth will set you free. What's it set you free from? Ignorance. Ignorance.
I just don't think there's any excuse for people anymore. I mean, this day of information where there's so much information accessible to everybody, there's no excuse anymore not to get it. And I think that's biblical. I think that was talked about in the scriptures that... this is the time, and this is the day and age where you could cover the entire world and everyone has access to information now. And all the information is out there. It's a matter of desire. Whether you want to know the truth and are you willing to, you know, accept the truth and have it change your life, or do you just want to be status quo and go along and continue with your nonsense watching the stupid television, just insane. Don't know what to do. It's just frustrating, but I don't know.
Well,
I'm just going to take care of my family best I can do, and I'm just going to pray that it doesn't get too bad before our Messiah returns, and heck, what can you do?
Let me also remind the listeners of something. When the disciples walked with Christ, did they recognize who he was?
Disciples walk with Christ.
Yeah, if you read in the book of in Peter chapter 16, you'll see a verse in there where he was trying to explain to them, because he was going to be leaving shortly, that they needed to pay attention and understand. He said, "I will speak to you plainly." And they looked and said, "What's he talking about?" Okay, so my question is, did the disciples fully understand who Christ was? Even though they walked with him for over 3 years, right before his crucifixion, did they actually understand who he was? Okay,
yeah.
Because his name was Joshua, or Yahshua in their language, but Joshua in English. But there were lots of people with the name Joshua. It was a popular name. What made this Joshua different than any other Joshua? HaMashiach, meaning the anointed one, okay? Anointed. By who? By the Father. Anointed. Did they understand fully who he was as he walked amongst them? My contention is no, they did not. And the reason I'm bringing this up, the second coming of the anointed, do you think you're going to know who it is immediately?
Probably not.
Do you think it's possible that he's here today talking to you? Do you think he's possibly in this world talking to people right now? Is it possible?
Yeah, I would say yeah.
And we don't even know it? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there is one verse in the Bible for years and years that said that the second coming would be the flashing of lightning from east to west. I thought it meant that the whole world would recognize his appearance instantly.
In the sky, yeah.
But what if it's actually a idiomatic expression in their terms talking about the internet today?
That's
lightning is what? Electricity. East to west, where do the cables for the internet? Everybody thinks the internet goes over satellite. No, it doesn't. It goes over land-based cables and ocean-based cables, okay? The internet has nothing to do with satellites. The internet is run completely by cables, okay? Fiber optics in this day and age, and I believe they've got a new technology that will even be faster than fiber optics. So my thought is, and I would love to have comments from people, what if it's talking about the fact that Yahweh's truth is going around the world via these cables to present his truths to the world, because he said the end would not come until the truth has been shown to the people of the earth. Ezekiel said that Ezekiel 37 army would rise up after what Yahweh pours out his spirit. How does he pour out his spirit? Could he do it through electronics? Could he do it through his truth, the truth of his word, the truth of his being? Just food for thought, I'm thinking, you know, what if he's already here? And we just don't recognize it.
Or that he's
going to come very soon, and the recognizing will be by the spoken word. I'm just saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but, because I've prayed about it an awful lot, because we are at the end of the age. This is it.
Amen.
So I would not be discouraged. I would be encouraged, because, Henry, it's obvious that the Father's working through you. So you're one of his elect. And Father, through Psalm 91, Psalm 149, Psalm 23, Proverbs, many passages talk about his love for his children. What kind of father would he be if he didn't love us, if he didn't look out after us? So whatever's going to happen, first of all, nothing's going to happen without his permission. Satan can't do a damn thing except deceive. All right? He has no power. If he had the power that he wants you to think he has, we'd already be dead.
Yep.
Okay? This would already be over if he had that kind of power. He doesn't. He was given the power to deceive. And that's what we have to remember. If we ignore his attempts to deceive us and hang on to the truths that we know and hang on to him and hang on to each other, we're doing his will on this earth. And it's my contention that that phrase about touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm was a warning to the rulers of the day when the prophet said that. And Yahweh commanded the rulers to touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Yahweh wants his truth spoken. Yahweh wants his sons and daughters to lead the people out of the misery that they're in. The scripture also tells us the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. The whole world is in travail, Henry, because the Yahweh's sons are sitting on their asses, thinking that these central governments and central churches and central banks and central this and central that are the ones that are supposed to be in charge. No, they're not. They have no authority. They're just like Satan's kids. They can deceive you. They can write pieces of paper saying, we now make it lawful for a child to be murdered. Is it really lawful? No. It's legal because they put it on a piece of paper, but it's not lawful. It has no weight. They can say, we're going to go into Iraq and we're going to kill over 1 million innocent civilians because we want their oil. Does it make it legitimate because the president signed a piece of paper saying, I authorize using taxpayer dollars to go over and murder Iraqi citizens? No. He had no authority to do that. We sat on our asses and let him go over there, and he committed murder. Bush Jr. is guilty of murder. Bush Jr. was in charge when 9/11 went down. That's more murder. That's more innocent blood on his hands.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's you bring up Bush. I'll tell you, the one thing that I'm a little disturbed, you're not disturbed about, but I'm a little leery about. when McCain was assassinated or died, and then when George Bush Sr. was either assassinated or died, of course, Q is claiming that these were assassinations. I want to see someone who's not, like, on death's door, someone younger. This whole Q thing, I just am so perplexed and I'm like a seesaw with it. It's just like, I just don't know. Even in Matthew 24, it talks about, you know, false prophets quite a bit. And I sometimes wonder if this QAnon thing. Now, there's some good that's come about it, whether it's a psyop or not. But I just don't think it's good for people to put too much, you know, all their faith in Q, because, you know, it's just...
No. And nobody I know of is saying to put all our faith in Q.
No, and I know you're not. You're certainly not. But
nope,
a lot of
nope.
people...
It's a source of information that should be taken and added to other information that you're getting from other sources. It's like like it says in the book in Thessalonians, to accept all things and keep that which is good. That's a biblical way of saying keep an open mind. I have an open mind. When it comes to Q and the Anons, I listen to everything they say. I don't believe everything they say, but I listen to everything they say. And then I add it up to things like Greg Hunter, what he's saying, Dr. Janda, Jordan Sather, SGT Report, The Patriot Hour, A Call for an Uprising, High Impact Vlogs. Okay? And some of these people are not believers, but they're...
Oh, I know.
But they are patriots. They believe
they
that there's
don't all,
injustice.
And they don't all agree with each other either. So, you
no,
know,
they don't.
So, yeah.
That's where we have to rely on our discernment and the leading of the Spirit. And again, all the more reason why we talk about health, okay? I can't stress that enough. Your body is a battery. Your body is an electronic device, whether you like to believe it or not. And anybody that's worked in electronics will tell you that if you have components that are failing, your device will stop to fail. I built a 25-inch color TV from scratch as part of a Heath kit back in the 1980s. It was the very first color TV with electronic tuning that I knew of. I spent many months go home after work with my soldering iron, and I built every circuit board in there, every transistor, every diode, capacitor, inductor, coil, you name it, I built it. So I knew everything about that television. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of components and many, many yards of different colored of wire and things that I put in that thing. And I got it all put together. This was a beautiful chassis and had a copper cage around the whole thing. I put that thing together and I plugged it in and turned it up and turned it on, and it had a built-in bar dot generator, and the bars and the dots were completely screwed up. They're supposed to be in perfect horizontal and vertical lines so you could tune the yoke and get your guns firing precisely on the screen. That's what made the sharp image back in the day before flat screens. Okay, so there I was after all those months and hundreds of hours of building this television, and it didn't work because I retraced some of my wiring, and I had two wires on the connector on the back of the cathode ray tube were reversed. That's all it took. All that work and just having two wires that were reversed, and it did not function. So the point I guess I'm trying to make is it doesn't take much error, and it gums up the whole works. All right, so we got to keep the pieces in alignment, and the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit and using proper discernment and work very hard to keep all the pieces in line, because all you have to have is just two pieces out of order, and the whole kit and caboodle stops working. So we have to pay attention to detail. We have to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says, what our discernment is telling us, what our different sources are telling us, and prayer, and in prayer, believe that our Father looks out for His children, and He is going to help guide us, all right? And I believe fully that as this thing transpires, we're going to know which way this thing's going. And again, I agree with you. I think the stage has been set for martial law and the military tribunals. I have no doubt about those are coming. The only question is, again, who's it for? And we are entering a very dangerous period right now where every patriot should be armed to the teeth. Every patriot should be ready for almost anything at this point, because this is that critical junction. It's either going to be the children of light rising up and destroying the wicked, or the wicked are going to rise up and try to destroy us. And I'm all for us destroying the wicked. I don't know about you, Henry, but I want to go down fighting against the wicked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you seen the recent... It appears as if they were due attacks, DEW attacks, and one was in Louisiana. And of course, there was this strange thing that occurred over New York City last week. Did you see that?
Yeah, I believe it's predictive programming.
What do you say?
It's predictive programming. They're trying to get the people used to the idea that our grid is susceptible to be taken down, because I think the deep state would like to do that. I don't know that they'll succeed, but I think that's what they're trying to do. I watched Victoris Libertas is a YouTube channel, and they had a real good video footage that was taken of the Kerner, I think it's Kerner, Louisiana, where the transformer supposedly blew up. And they were asking for input. And since I worked in the power industry, and many of my friends were linemen in the power company, I know a little bit about transmission lines. I know about substations. I was a technician and working in the power industry, so I know how electricity is produced and what it can do, etc. And some of the transformers that we had were as big as a small house. So I'm fully aware what transformers are, what they can and can't do, and those pictures that are there do not look like a, quote, transformer blowing up that I was ever shown pictures of or talked about, because it looks too purposely done. And here's the other thing that makes me suspect, and another reason is, why was there somebody there with their camera running when that happened? What were they there for? There was no reason for that person's phone or camera or whatever they were using to be there taking video when that thing exploded. So that's number one suspect. Number two is, because I worked in the power industry, I know all switchgear and switchgear and transformers are in the switchyard together. All of those devices are protected by sophisticated circuitry that looks for a ground fault, very much like your ground fault circuit interrupter in your bathroom. It's called a GFCI. Ground fault circuit interrupter. Now, why does every building code today want ground fault interrupters on any circuit near water or any circuit going to the outside? Because they are the ones that you're more than likely going to get electrocuted at because you're close to ground or close to water. And so the GFI circuit detects a short and opens immediately so that you're not electrocuted. Well, right. The switchgear for the power company, where these transformers and big capacitors and transformers and switchgear are, they're protected by the same kind of devices, only they're a lot bigger and they're a lot more sophisticated and a lot more expensive because they're protecting a lot more. They do exactly the same thing. As soon as that circuit detects a variance in the electricity, in the phases, it opens the breakers. It shuts off the power coming into that switchgear unit, okay? So for those things to be legitimate that they're showing us, it would have to show some kind of a spark or whatever, and then everything go silent, dead.
Sure.
Because
it's fear-mongering.
It's fear-mongering because that thing showed me this big ball of fire, and it continued, and then you saw the big ripples of high voltage going down the lines. Where's the ground fault interrupters? What happened to the safety breakers opening up and shutting that thing down? So the only thing you could do is you can lock them out. Now, did a saboteur go in and lock out the safety equipment so that that would not happen? Well, if you do that, you can make a transformer do some crazy stuff. But I'm saying by design, you almost never see what they showed in that video. So somebody orchestrated what you saw.
Okay, that's good. Well, it never ends.
Well, we're being played. Yeah. We're being played. But here again, Yahweh told us the truth shall set us free, and we are to analyze everything and look and be suspicious of anything coming from the mainstream, whether it's the government or the mainstream media. You've got to be highly suspicious of anything like that that's trying to propagandize us for something they're getting ready to do. And to me, that's what the fear porn about the power grid. Because you got to remember, even Q said, be careful of the false flags, especially about the grid. Because, let's face it, the New World Order would love to take the grid down, okay? And end us talking to each other. Okay,
oh,
they would love
to
do that.
Yeah.
Okay, but they also know that patriots are expecting that. So what they want to try to do is to convince us that this is a natural occurrence, okay? They want us that if all of a sudden all these power plants and these substations blow up, that it's because of a Russian cyber attack or whatever, which is total bullshit. All right? Total bullshit.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Wow. Keep us in fear. Yeah.
And keep us in fear. If it's generating fear or confusion, I can almost guarantee you it, the enemy is putting it together. The enemy is orchestrating it.
I think it shows their desperation, too.
It does show it. They are desperate. And it's exactly what Christ told us, that when Satan and Satan's kids knew their time was short, their anger would be great. Isn't that what it says?
Oh, yeah.
They're coming. They're saying some of the dumbest things I've ever heard a human being say today. That's how desperate they are.
On every level. My God. For people today, if anybody who watches mainstream news today, even Fox, I'll include Fox there too, and they don't see how obvious this whole thing is, I have to question their intelligence, really. You know, I mean, my God, it's just total insanity.
Well, think about this. Let's pretend for a minute that you're sitting in the great white throne. You're the creator. And you've created these beings, and you put them in this special domed area called Earth to watch them as they go about their business. Now, as creator, you gave them a set of rules. You said, okay, I'm watching you, and here's my rules. Now, unbeknownst to us, you're the creator. You know what's on the other side, and you know what your intentions are for those of us who are here on the other side. And so as the Father, wouldn't it be logical for you to test us to see which ones can be trusted with other works on the other side and which ones can't?
Yeah, man, that's an excellent point. That really is. You know, that may be the ultimate filtering process that he's putting us through right now, to reveal those of us who are truth seekers and who are going to align ourselves with good and Yahweh, and those of us who are just going to go the other way, the wheat and the tares, I guess, right?
Amen. What did he say? The wheat I will harvest and gather into my granary. That's an allegory of saying that he has got something for you and I to do, but we have to pass the test. And what did he say about the tares and the weeds? They will be cut down and burned, which means destroyed. They're unfit for whatever reason, whether it's a spiritual or a physical. It doesn't matter. He's the creator. Yeah. Who's going to argue with him?
Yeah, and when you think about it, with all of the shit that they're pushing today, I mean, with the LGBTQ shit and everything else, for anyone not to see evil, the evil that exists around us today, and to not identify it and align themselves with good, they're just making the case that much easier for Yahweh. Because, and I think that's what's going on. I think it's a process. I think it's unwinding now. I think if you don't know by now that we live amongst demons and they're out there pushing their agenda, and it's if you can't determine right from wrong now, good from evil now, and you're accepting the party line and the mainstream media and what they're pushing, then I feel sorry for you, because your life is over, because this is it. We're there.
Yeah.
This has to be it. It's so in your face now, you can't avoid it.
No,
unless you live in the woods and you have no access to anything, I guess you could, you know, you cannot see what's going on. But for 99.9% of the population, I mean, forget about it.
Well, I just saw an article that the headline was talking about for the first time in the history of the world, 50% of the world has access to the internet on a daily basis. Yep. 50% have access on a daily basis to the internet. Okay, that means for every person that has access to the internet, and it's tremendous amount of information, all they have to do is educate one other person, and all the earth is covered.
I was just going to say the same thing. If 50% have access, they all have family and friends who may not have access. So, yeah, you can pretty much say everyone. There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. So, exactly right. Yeah. There's no excuse. So for the first time in history, Yahweh's truths are available to all of the inhabitants of the earth.
And that's the first time you can say that in the history of the world.
Amen.
So that's a clear indication that we're on the precipice right now.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Whether it's months or maybe a few short years, I just cannot see this going on much longer.
No, it can't. That's why I say I believe 2019 literally will be a year to be remembered. I believe that 17 and 18 were amazing, and even 16 with the election. And look at how fast time has flown by. I mean, that election seems like it was only yesterday.
I know it. And I think Trump's being put into power really is a big part of this, because love him or not, I mean, he's awakened a lot of people. I think he's been put in there for a purpose. I think it's the Great Awakening. Like you said, all of Europe right now is in upheaval. I mean, in France, and so.
The yellow vest movement is anti-central government.
Oh, absolutely.
Because first of all, the European Union understands that the people of Europe do not want to be part of the European Union. None of them do, yeah. Especially the white people within those countries.
Right.
And the pressure to get out of the EU is so great that they're becoming draconian in their methods of suppressing the voice of the people. And anytime you do that, you are setting the stage for an armed revolution. Now, so far, the yellow vests have been peaceful and unarmed, but if they keep up this nonsense of hurting them and using rubber bullets, and because these rubber bullets may not be lethal, but they can still hurt you. So water cannons and rubber bullets and all that and tasers have killed people. So this whole nonsense that, well, they're not using live ammo, that doesn't mean people aren't dying. People are getting hurt, okay? All because they don't like the people rising up and demanding that they get out of the European Union. Well, we are on the precipice. You're right. This is the awakening that Ezekiel talked about, where Yahweh's spirit and Yahweh's what? The truth, the way, and the life. It starts out with truth, though. You can't find the way if you don't have truth. And if you
That's
can't find the
word.
Way, you're not going to arrive at life. You're not going
I
to
think
find
that's
salvation.
That. Yeah, I think that Bible verse sums it all up. I mean, you can't be more concise about the importance of that Bible verse. It says it all. Way, truth, and life. Yep.
Right.
My God, wow.
So he's all three, the way, the truth, and the life, and you got to have all three, okay?
Yep.
So, again, armed with truth, a lot of people will make the right decisions. They have been lied to, propagandized, poured over with fear porn and nonsense, and the history. By the way, I have a guest coming on Wednesday night, Patricia Aiken. Most of you remember her. She's going to come on with some new information that she's uncovered that is going to blow your minds as far as how we have been lied to about history. It's just unbelievable. And then Dr. Gifford has got some huge information to bring Sunday. So next Sunday, a week from today, Dr. Gifford will be our guest, and it's supposed to be some really big news there in the area of health and what's going on around the earth. And then Patricia's going to talk with us about some of this hidden history and hidden inventions and suppressed technology. That should be also very interesting. And let me back up with what she's going to talk about today a little bit. Remember some time ago I told you that a friend of mine named Paul in England, he had an acquaintance who was a spy for England his whole career. He's now retired, and I believe he's in his 70s. But he was talking to Paul and told him that when he was recruited like 50 years earlier to be a equivalent to a 007 spy, he said, first of all, Hollywood in the movies doesn't do a real spy justice. He said, because that's all Hollywood bullshit. He said, a real 007 spy, first of all, never works alone. Never. They always work in teams of four. Always. He goes, the whole idea that there's a near miss or they went out to get somebody and it didn't work, he goes, that's a lie. If we went out to kill somebody or capture somebody, we never failed. That's why we went in teams of four. Never fail. One might fail, but one of the four will get the job done. So he goes, that's a lie. He said, and the other thing that you need to understand is that all of the cadets, all of the people that were being drafted into the top level of spying for England were taken to an abandoned Air Force base down into a bunker, and they were kept there for a couple months. They weren't allowed out, and part of what their training was to be told the true history of the world and who really runs it and how. Because he said, and this is a quote, everything you've learned about history in your institutionalized education system is a lie. How about that one? Everything you've been told about the history of the world in your schools and universities is a lie.
I came to that realization just a few months into my journey. My God. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I not only 9/11 was the linchpin for me, but I not only went forward from 9/11, I went back. I was especially focused on the world wars, and when I found out the truth about World War I and World War II, I at that point said, I don't believe anything I've ever learned about history, and very, very little I learned about science.
Right. Right. Well, that's why NASA means never a straight answer, okay?
Right.
So in English. Now, in Hebrew, NASA means to lie or deceive. Isn't that interesting? And particularly about the heavenlies, because it would take you away from God. Now, that's right out of a Hebrew lexicon, that definition of NASA. And the other equivalent word in the Greek is planetes. Oh, what's the modern word that we have? Oh, planet. Planetes is exactly the same thing as NASA in Hebrew. It's designed to take you away from God, and they call it a wandering star, but the definition in the languages, in the original languages anyway, was that a body in the heavens that would deceive or lie with the purpose of distracting you away from the goodness and truth of our Heavenly Father. And that is exactly what the planets and NASA are. Lies to take you away from the truth of our Heavenly Father. Perfect. Just like pharmacy. See, they put it in plain sight. And that's why Yahweh allows Satan to do this, because he's put it in plain sight. Because Satan is sitting there arguing with Yahweh, look, I'm telling him I'm using drugs, using sorcery and black magic. Is it my fault that they go in and buy it? Now, what is Yahweh going to say? Hey, I gave my kids a brain. The information's out there. I can't argue with that. I can't argue with Satan.
Yep. And Werner von Braun, gravestone, do you know what it says on it?
It's out of Psalms, and I believe it talks about the firmament.
Absolutely. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, why would Werner von Braun put that on his tombstone if we're on a spinning ball in the middle of nothing, floating around a bunch of other nothing at light speed around a bunch of other nothings in an immense universe, and we're just an accident on this little tiny marble sitting out here in the middle of nothing? Why would he do that? As a rocket scientist, you don't think he knows the truth about the shape of the world and what's on the other side of the firmament?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, my word.
You hide it in plain sight. Satan does it all the time.
Yep.
Okay? He does it all the time. Psychiatry, psychobabble, I call it. It's a pseudoscience. There is no science to psychiatry or psychology. Isn't it interesting? That's the 2 degrees Rabbi Eli has, a degree in psychology and psychiatry.
Really?
Okay?
I didn't know that.
Yes, he does. He said it before from the University of Chicago. So, you know, his 2 degrees are in psychobabble, okay?
Yeah, that's Jewish nonsense, isn't it?
Well, of course. Who was Sigmund Freud? All right? Sigmund Freud was a kike, and the fellow kikes lifted him up on a pedestal, and we bought it, just like Albert Einstein was an idiot.
Yep.
But because the Jew press said he was such a smart guy, we bought it. That's the problem with white people. They buy this crap.
Oh, God,
they don't investigate anything. They don't question anything. The greatest gift Father gave me from the time I was a little boy was I never stopped saying why. My parents used to make fun of me. But in a loving way, they used to tease me. Is that the only word you know? Because every time they told me something, I would say, why?
Yep.
When I got to school, it was the same thing. The teachers in science class and in chemistry and in history class, I would say, why?
They don't like that, though, do they, Dan?
No, a lot of them don't. Some of them did, though. Some of them would get a big grin on their face, and they would say things like, you know, well, come over here and let me talk to you privately off to the side. Just like Phil, our guest that comes on, Phil from Tampa. When he was in college, he challenged a professor in lecture one day, and the professor, after a bit, said, Phil, I need you to sit down and come to my office after the lecture. And Phil has told the story on the radio that when he got to there, the professor said, look, Phil, you got to stop that. He says, I know what you're saying is true, but if I was to teach what you're saying, I will lose my tenure and my job at this university.
Yep.
Okay? The archaeologist Stephen Collins, who wrote the 5 books about the migrations of the ancient Israelites and proves that it was our people, he says it in his book, I've read it, that academia knows the truth of who the real Israelites are, but they will not talk about it.
Yep.
Gee, I wonder why. Who stands to benefit by the world not knowing that the white race are the Israelites of old? Who benefits from that?
The Jews.
The Jews. Qui bono? Who benefits?
Not just the Zionists. I get a little tired of people pinning all the blame just on the Zionists. It's the entire race.
Well, I've got a good one. When people say that, I said, well, I'll tell you what let's do. When it comes time for Obadiah 18, we'll go down to the synagogue and get the records of all the Jews that prayed the Kol Nidre prayer. And every Jew that prays the Kol Nidre prayer is to be rounded up and put on trial for treason against mankind, because that's the prayer that allows them to lie under oath to you and me for 12 months. And then they say it again. Every year at Yom Kippur, they pray the Kol Nidra, and it allows them to lie under oath. Now, if they have a religion that says that they're allowed to lie under oath, how can you trust them?
Oh, my God.
And it's like my one buddy said, he went by a synagogue in his area on Yom Kippur. He said the parking lot was overflowing. He goes, that's the only day of the year the synagogue's parking lot will be just packed with cars, because that's when they get to pray the Kol Nidra and lie through their teeth to you and me, even under oath. How do you trust the people that believe such a thing?
What?
You can't.
What time of year is the Yom Kippur?
It's at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's about the same time as the Feast of Tabernacles.
But what in our calendar, what month would it be in?
It's usually September, October, depending on what year it is.
Remember I told you about that guy that kept contacting me about my daughter's school debt?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that he wanted to get you to sign up for a loan.
Right. He wanted to, you know, refinance it. And this guy was he wouldn't leave me alone. And I didn't know he was Jewish at first until, because all I knew was his first name was Solomon, but then I found out his last name was Shapiro. And then I could tell by the way he sounded, you know, that they talk a certain way. And then I remember one time, and it was about, I think it was in October, and I remember he was on the phone with me, and this is when he revealed he was a Jew, because he actually said to me, he was in California, and he used to call me, it was always like 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, around 5 o'clock his time. And I was on the phone with him one evening, maybe the third time I was talking to him, and he actually mentioned to him that he had to go to the synagogue, and I think he mentioned something, what did you call that, the Yom Kippur, I think that's what he said, and I'm like, holy shit, that's when it struck me that this guy was a total effing fraud. And every dealing I've only dealt with two Jews in the last few years since my awakening. One of them, it was a business arrangement. I had this app on the internet, and I just didn't have the money to put behind promoting it. Otherwise, I may have been able to make a lot of money. It was a sports app, but in any case, I had this guy who had seen it, and he loved it, and he contacted me, and he wanted to buy it from me. And mm-hmm. I won't go into the details because it's kind of boring, but the short end of it is this. He tried to swindle it from me, and I looked up. At first, I knew what his name was. I couldn't tell whether it was Jewish or not, and I found some website that you're able to put the last name and find out if it's Jewish or not, and sure enough, it was. So the two dealings I've had with Jewish people in the last few years, they both tried to swindle me.
Right.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Like you say, you cannot trust a Jew. Cannot trust.
And why do you think, Albert Einstein is promoted as such a genius, but he was a clerk in a patent office? What's in a patent office?
Yep.
Okay. A patent office is full of what? Inventions, entrepreneurial material. They call it intellectual property, IP, intellectual property. It's basically a white man. It's supposed to be a place to protect the inventions and ideas, and it's almost 99% white where they put them in there. And Albert Einstein had access to that. So, gee, I wonder where he got some of the ideas he got. He stole them gave them to his fellow Jews to implement. and they came up with the rules that if they change the design a little bit, they can claim that they've got a separate patent.
Yeah. They even television itself, didn't they steal that? It was done by someone who was non-Jewish, and then they took over Hollywood. They stole that patent, too.
They stole part of what's... The movie industry and television was stolen from Edison, and the motion picture camera tube, they could not get it to work. They stole it from some guy, but it didn't work. And some child, a teenager in the Midwest, went to his teacher at school teaching electronics and showed him how to make it work. And thank God he did, because later on in court, he was able to prove that it was his innovation that allowed the tube to work. But do you know what the president of RCA Records and RCA Radio, a Jew, did? Because he couldn't steal it, the court found that the kid was right. It was his invention. He turned around and set an army of lawyers loose on him, and they tied it up in court. They tied this kid and his family on a corn farm in the Midwest, tied him up in court for 20 years. Why 20 years? Because that's all the longer a patent's good for.
There you go. You know what? Lying is in their DNA.
Stealing, lying, and destroying. Isn't that what Christ said? They're here to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when they speak a lie, they speak their own language. That's in John chapter 8. So why are we surprised that they behave this way? It's exactly what Christ said. Why did they murder Christ? Because he fingered them. He was teaching the other whites, the children of Israel, that these people walk amongst you as a lion amongst the sheep, as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so they wanted him murdered, just like they're trying to murder us now. They hate us. Why? Because they could enslave the whole world if it wasn't for us. Do you think the Indonesian people are going to stop the Jews? Do you think the blacks of Africa are going to stop the Jews? Do you think the Arabs are going to stop the Jews? No. We are the only impediment to their taking over the world. And they actually do believe that their destiny is to rule the world as the master race, and we are nothing more than slaves. They've said that.
John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There you go.
Yep, and their children do exactly what their father wants them to do, to steal, to kill, and destroy.
You know, I listen to, I've been listening a lot to, what is his name? Not Comperay, Wesley Swift. I'm sure you know who he is. And I mean, there's a website that has, oh my God, hundreds of his sermons. And, you know, even though they were in the 60s, I am so amazed as to, I mean, there's a few things that are obviously different and that he didn't get quite right. He speaks a lot about the Rus, you know, the communist Russia and stuff, but so you can listen to those sermons from the mid-60s, and they're so spot on. If preachers like Wesley Swift had ever caught on in this country, but, of course, we know why he didn't, but oh, my God. And you think of the Judeo-Christian pastors that we have today and the messages that they're preaching. Blessing, what'd you say? They were blessing
they're teaching the doctrine of devils.
Yeah, it's just, oh, my God.
That's why there's a curse. There's a double curse on them. The prophet said that these liars pretending to be the teachers of God's word, there's a double curse on their heads. It's not only that their parents are going to help hunt them down, but there's actually a curse from the heavenlies upon their heads when they're finally revealed for being the murderers and liars that they are. The people are suffering because they think these assholes are telling them the truth. The Kenneth Copelands, he's a complete piece of shit. Excuse my French, I'm sorry, folks, but it just angers me. These guys are millionaires. Millionaires.
Private jets.
And they're liars. Look at their faces, for crying out loud. You can't see the evil? You can't see the deception? Look at Joel Osteen. He's even a kike, for crying out loud. And you think this kike is going to tell you about the man they murdered?
It's amazing.
All he talks about is money. And yet these idiots sit out there in TV land and in the cathedrals or wherever the hell he's at, listen to this pompous ass.
No. Hey, I have DirecTV. I don't watch television very much. We've talked about that before. But just out of curiosity, on occasion, there's about 12 channels, religious channels. And I'll bounce through them on occasion, just out of curiosity, just to see how pathetic it's getting. And I'll spend two or three minutes on each one. You would be amazed at how much Judaism now, they're preaching Judaism over Christianity now. It's just so pathetic. They're open about it, too. It's just, everything is about the Jews. Everything is about the Jews. They preach more about the Jews than they do about Jesus. It's sickening. Yep.
Yeah, they've taken over. And again, if your eyes are open, it's obvious, isn't it?
Yep.
Father is taking away the fence. There is no fence anymore. Okay? We got a lot of people, let's face it, they're lazy. Okay? A lot of white people are just plain lazy.
Pretty
they
want to
sit on the fence and think that they're going to wait and see who's going to win this fight and then jump off the fence on the side of the winner. That's what they think. That's how stupid they are. Lazy and stupid. Well, the good news is Father's taking the fence away. There is no fence anymore. It is gone.
I'm glad.
Another reason we know we're at the end of the age and the end time scenarios talked about are going to happen real soon, probably in 2019. I say probably, okay? Because of the signs of the times. He said, ye are either for me or against me. That means no fence. You can't sit on the fence. Because if you sit on the fence, folks, you've already decided against him. What did he say he's going to do with the lukewarm, Henry?
Spit him out of his mouth?
That's right. Actually, he said vomit.
Vomit. There you go.
That's a violent expellation. Violent. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Spitting is kind of gentle, but when you vomit something out, it's very forceful. In fact, it can even hurt sometimes. All right? That's how much he hates fence setters. He hates the lukewarm.
Dan, he only hates the sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Don't you know that?
Yeah, well, let me know how that works for you. When the final battle comes and he starts taking the sickle to the root of the tree that bears bad fruit. All right? You either bearing good fruit or bad fruit. That's what he's going to judge you on. What kind of fruit do you have? You're a tree. How many times are we referred to as trees? The trees with the bad fruit get what? Cut down and put in the fire. Now people say, well, Dan, I don't think that's a literal fire. I don't give a damn if it's literal or not. Do you want to be in the fire? Whatever form it takes.
Really?
I mean, really, people are going to sit there and argue, well, I don't think it's a literal fire. The point is you don't want to be in the fire.
Really? Yep.
That's what you should be saying. I want to be on the side of the victorious. I want to be on the side of the righteous. Instead, they're sitting there going, well, I don't think it's a real fire. Like, well, I can sit on my ass and not do anything because really that's just figurative. It means I'll probably get a slap on the wrist. No, it means you get thrown in the fire.
Amen.
Fire does what? It consumes completely. That's what it means. Judgment, fire. It will consume you completely because you're unfit. Ezekiel 37 Army, it's almost time. I hope you're paying attention. It's almost time. Keep your sword sharp. Keep your weapons loaded. Keep your vigilance and your eyes on the horizon, because it's almost time.
Amen.
Well, I can't believe it. It's been almost 3 hours. Holy cow. I didn't realize that.
You can wrap it up, huh?
Yeah, I think probably we could. I'm shocked that everybody stuck around this long. That's a long time. Did you have anything else before we go?
I think we've said it all. I'll let you wrap it up. You're much better at it than I am anyway, so go ahead. Thanks for letting me call in, and thanks for bringing this every week to us, because your words are very encouraging.
Thank you, Henry, and Yahweh bless you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, folks. We'll close in prayer, and I hope everybody is remembering to keep themselves as clean as possible. That pineal gland is your third eye. That is your connection to the spiritual side of things. If you're not hearing him clearly, it could be that your antenna's clogged, all right? And people think that I'm not serious about this, but I'm telling you, folks, there's plenty of stuff on YouTube. There's plenty of stuff in websites. I did a short video on the pineal gland. The importance of that and being able to receive signals from the high command is more important today than it's ever been. We're at the end, folks. This is it. This is what the prophets were talking about. This is what believers were looking forward to for many, many centuries, all right? You're here. You're in the front row seats for the end of the age. You're in the bleachers at the front rows for the end of the age. Are you ready? You're going to see things that are going to shock you, folks. I've been told you're going to see things. I might even be shocked, and I have been shown a lot. But there are things so disturbing that are going to be revealed that you are going to be shocked to your very core. The reason I'm saying this is because I believe the elect are supposed to be aware of that and not allow it to affect them. But some of these people out here that have chosen to remain ignorant all these years and make fun of us for the things that we talk about, they're going to be the most shocked. Their world is literally going to disappear in front of them. This make-believe comfort zone that they've created as this fictitious world where Jesus just loves everybody and the Jews are God's chosen people is going to vaporize in front of their very eyes. And they're going to stand there naked before the Father, believing a lie, promoting a lie, and leading the sheep to the slaughter. I would not want to be them on that day for all the tea in China. Nope. For all the money on earth, it would not be worth it. For when they stand there naked, the Bible says. Naked means nothing to hide. Nothing to cover you up. Nothing to take away from your deception and the criminality of your lack of faith and lack of action. Unbelievable. These are amazing, amazing times. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. As Isaiah told us in chapter 33, you are our King, our Judge, and our Lawgiver, and you will be our Savior. There are no other gods, including one called Yahshua. There's only one, and his name is Yahweh El Shaddai. Period. Some people pronounce it slightly different, I know that, but the drift is the same. The great I am that I am, the ever-present, the eternal one. You and you alone are our King, our Judge, your law and your law only, and through you we find salvation. These are perilous times, but it's mostly perilous for the ignorant. It causes some concern for us, Father, because we see all these disastrous things, as Henry has pointed out, and it's disturbing. There are many people that we love and care about, and we see them floundering. We see them in hospitals. We see them dying at young ages. We see them getting operations that aren't necessary if they knew the truth. We know there's suppressed technologies out there that could restore health to all of us. We know there's history that has been hidden from us. And you've promised that all the hidden things would be made known, and by gosh, that's exactly what's happening, and we praise you for it. We also know that the wicked will see a day when they will be put to the sword and destroyed forever, that this earth will become a new earth and a new heaven. The new Jerusalem coming down is symbolic of the fact that earth is given a reprieve from all the criminality that's been done to her and her people. We were put down here to live down here and to do things that you have commanded us to do, not simply exist and seek money and toys. That's not the purpose of man. The purpose of man is to worship you and to obey your commandments. We have failed that completely. Your remnant sits here as your soldiers and as your family, Father. Whatever it is you want us to do, make it plain that we can see it, so that we will take a stand in this day for righteousness' sake, even unto death. We will stand against the wicked. We will stand against the liars. We will stand against the deceivers. They got away with murdering you 2,000 years ago. It's not going to go so easy for them this time around. With your help, Father Yahweh, may we be the righteous army that finally stands up and puts the wicked in their place and liberates mankind, that they can enjoy this world the way it was meant to be and worship you as our Creator and our Father. Give us good discernment, Father. Give us strength, courage. Take away any fear that's within us. Give us a stiff backbone. And help us to have a heart of compassion for those who do want the truth and do want justice. Forgive us our shortcomings and sins, Father, and protect us always from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.